You guys can grab a seat, as if you were not going to do that, and we're going to stand the entire time. That would make me feel certainly uncomfortable, so I'm glad you decided to sit. Well, hey, we are at the tail end of a series called Living Out of Who You Are, and really, Living Out of Who You Are, this series is simply the sort of series that we do at the beginning of every year when we really remind ourselves what it means to be a follower of Christ, a disciple. And here at the Heights, we use something called the 5 G's, and for us, it's just 5 words that we think sort of sum up the attributes and what it means to be a follower of Christ. And the vantage point this year is living out of who you are, because the reality is that whenever we were made new in Christ, whenever we were transformed by the gospel, we were rewired to where we long to do things like experience grace and help others experience grace. We long together to grow, and this morning as we'll talk about give, and then next week we'll conclude with go. But like I mentioned, this morning we want to talk about this idea of giving, and typically here at the Heights, we talk about it in terms of giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure, our resources. Now, before we fully jump into this idea of giving, I want to make a quick observation. I believe that most of us, if not all of us, who fail to give, of our time, our treasures, and our talent, at some level, there is a misunderstanding about your identity. There's a disconnect there. And I know that might seem random to some of you. Hopefully, it won't seem as random here in a minute. But the reality is, you have to know who you are before you know what to give and where to give. Right? And so, and maybe a counterintuitive sort of way, I want to start this morning off not so much talking about giving, but sort of laying the groundwork for which we give, and that's by reminding ourselves who we are. Because again, until we settle in on who we are and what the gospel makes us, we can't live out of our true selves. Right? And so, talking about this idea of identity, talking about this idea of reminding ourselves of who we are, there's probably no better place to go than Genesis 1, the beginning. And so Genesis 1, it's the story of creation, right? You see God creating the light, the darkness, water, land, vegetation, birds, fishes, animals, Chick-fil-A and stuff. And then we get to mankind, right? And so Genesis 1, 27, says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And some of you have maybe heard this before, but a word that we often use when talking about made in the image of God is imago Dei. And that's simply just the Latin meaning, and I guess you sound cooler when you speak in Latin, I don't know. But imago Dei is this idea that you and I and anyone that has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ is made in the image of God. Right? We are image bearers, okay? We bestow the image of God. It means that we value the things that he values, right? It means that we are elevated above all creation in terms of significance, dignity, and value, right? You have incredible value because you and I are the only thing that God made that he literally stamped his image on to us. You and I are the imago Dei. We are made in the image of God. But part of that also means that we value, just like God values us, we also value the things that God values. And so we naturally value things like gathering and grace and giving and growing and going. I want to look also at Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That first part there, for we are God's handiwork. The word handiwork is simply just the Greek word poema. And poema, as you can probably guess, is where we get the word poem. And so literally what Paul is telling us right here is that we are a masterpiece, right? We are a work of art in the eyes of God. If all of creation were the museum of God, which it technically is, I guess, right? then despite even all the mountains, the canyons, the stars, the beach, the northern lights, all these beautiful things that God created, he looks at you, he looks at us, and he says, but this is the best thing that I created. This is my masterpiece, right? This is what bears my image and is better. It's more significant than anything else I created. 1 Samuel 13:14 is where we read that David is a man after God's own heart, right? And David is someone in scripture that we often admire, his reverence, his obedience, really his intimacy that he had with the Lord. And listen to what Psalm 139:14 says. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And here's what's interesting about the life of David, I think. What was the X factor for David? Was it that he's fearfully and wonderfully made? I mean, maybe, but we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. But notice that last part. He knew it full well. See, David did what so many of us struggle to do, and that's embrace who we are, right? A lot of us have been in church for a while, right? And a lot of us have read Genesis 1, have read Ephesians 2:10. We've heard Psalm 139:14. We know it in our head, but do we embrace who we actually are? Do we embrace our identity? Do we know it full well? So we are image bearers, right? And it's one thing to know you're an image bearer. It's another to live out from the place of being an image bearer. Because when you embrace your identity, when you begin to look inward at who you are, right? Not according to the world, but according to the maker of the world. When you see yourselves as a masterpiece, when you see yourselves fearfully and wonderfully made, your response will be to participate in the caring and advancing of the kingdom, right? And that's why I say we have to start with identity. Because we won't give anything meaningful until we remember the meaning that we have been given. And so what do we give? What is it that you're called to give? You look back at Genesis 2, and it's just more of the creation story. But also notice there's a purpose that God is going to give Adam and Eve and humanity. So Genesis 2, I want to read verse 7, and then I'll just hop down to verse 15. Verse 7 says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So what we just read there is that you and I and everyone that we know were made to come alive in the presence of God. When God breathes life into us, we are awakened to our true purpose and to our true reason for existence. Work it. Take care of it. Right? Give back to what I have given you. What this means is that from the breath that God has given us, we are called to breathe life into our world, into everywhere else that our foot may land, right? It is to say to breathe life into our homes, into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our places of work, into our schools. It is to say to take care of the poor, the widows, the seventh graders. And that's a special calling. God bless you. They're right there. They're shrinking into their chairs like, ooh. Care for the prisoners, the outcast, the marginalized, right? Take care. Give back. Breathe life. I really think you want a simple and reduced definition of what it means to give. Give life. I don't mean that in some like nuancy, like cute, like bumper sticker Instagram phrase, give life. But sincerely, are you breathing life? Are you breathing well-being and joy and grace and compassion into the rooms, into the places you go? Or are you breathing death, destruction, hostility? Our calling Our purpose is to give life. Ephesians 2:10 continues, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. When you were transformed on the account of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ, your life was given a new purpose. It was given a new meaning. Do good works, right? And notice, because I think this is important. Notice this verse doesn't say, right, do good works and then be created in Christ Jesus, right? But the creation in Christ Jesus always precedes any good works we could ever do. Think about it like this. The beginning of the pandemic, like the first go around, I guess it's all still one pandemic, but like 2 years ago, believe it or not, I was bored at home and decided I would get in or try and get into gardening. I don't know. It was weird. Weird stage in my life. Weird time. And so I went to Home Depot and I got these 5 gallon buckets, which are great for potting plants if you have zero aesthetic care for your backyard. And I drilled some holes in the bottom. Kid you not, I can't believe I'm about to admit this. I watched a YouTube video on how to plant tomatoes, learned about this stuff called garden lime. It actually worked really well. Put it all in, planted the tomato, watered it occasionally, and then tomatoes started to grow. Now, my job, and no disrespect to like you serious gardeners, my job though in this particular case, it was pretty simple, right? It was easy, but it was super important because without the nutrients, without me putting that plant into healthy, fertile soil, that plant would not have been able to do the one thing it was designed to do. Produce tomatoes, bear fruit, right? And in the same way, you and I, we have been created in Christ Jesus. We have been given life through Jesus. And from that life, we have one thing, do good works, right? Produce fruit. Breathe life back into this world. You've been saved for a purpose, right? Your life has been reconfigured, reoriented with new passion, new cares, new desires, right? And from that place, right, from that purpose, we are called, we are sent into our community, into our churches. We are sent to do the work that God has called us to. Because, friends, image bearers are kingdom carriers, right? And when we understand who we are and we understand our purpose, then we can go into the world and we can join and we can participate alongside the Spirit of God in pushing forward His kingdom. And that is the purpose. That is the only lasting, meaningful purpose that you will ever be able to find. But you won't get that until you get who you are. And then once you know who you are, the invitation is to come and to carry the kingdom. And here's the beauty. The beauty of all this is that when we really do embrace who we are and our purpose, then it will essentially become kind of like involuntary movement, right? We will breathe life and do good works without even always realizing that's what we're doing, right? It reminds me of a friend of my wife and I, served in the student ministry for years and years, Maria. And Maria has had 4 boys who've all played competitive soccer. She co-owns a business with her husband. She's got a lot going on. And yet what she used to do and still might do is that she had a deep, deep conviction to disciple and invest in girls in the student ministry, right? She knew that that was part of her purpose in doing good works. And so spending hundreds and hundreds of hours at a soccer field on the sidelines, she would invite these girls to her son's soccer practices and they would say yes, which is incredible. And that's how much they loved her. And they would just simply put 2 lawn chairs right next to each other and she would disciple and invest in them. And why do I say all that? Is life's busy? I get it. But I really do believe it'll never be too busy for those who understand who they are and their purpose. Busyness will never be an excuse to give if you know what you're giving to. And I want to mention one more thing as we close down, and this is supposed to be a little shorter. Matt's going to come up and give us some places that we can really apply what it is we're talking about this morning. But if you really do believe that God is the only reason for life, right? That he has breathed life into you, that he has given you your purpose, then it's only logical to think that everything that he's given you is ultimately a gift from him, right? And I really do believe that God doesn't necessarily need your money, your talents, right? Your time. He's perfectly capable of accomplishing exactly what he wants to accomplish at the utterance of a word. But one of the greatest, and I really do believe this, one of the greatest joys that God has invited us into is to watch as our time, treasure, and talents, right? To watch as our worldly, earthly resources become kingdom realities. And I really do believe it. I really do believe that if you give, and if you give faithfully, especially consistently, then you will be afforded the opportunity to watch God do some incredible, incredible things with your time and your treasure and your talent. And you will watch these things become kingdom realities. Not because you're anyone special, though you are. I get it. It's 2022. Everyone's special. That was for the students. But in all sincerity, you will see God do unbelievable things on account of the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God can do through you. Ephesians 2:10, the last part of that is God has prepared you in advance. Because I know another reason that many of us fail to give is because for whatever reason, for years and years, we have been sidelined by a sense of inadequacy, right? And we think we're not good enough. We don't think we have anything to offer, that people that serve in the church are the loud people that like to talk on stages like this, and there's just nothing for me to do. But let me remind you of Moses, right? The one with the speech impediment is who God selected to go and deliver a message and his people from Egypt and from Pharaoh. And even Moses was like, God, I don't know if I'm really the best pick on account of can't really talk good. But Moses didn't trust in his own abilities. He trusted in God, right? And the reality is that some of us think we don't have the skill set. And frankly, this sounds harsh. You're thinking about yourself too much. You're already beginning from a self-centered position right there. Well, do I have the right gift set? That's not what the question is. The question is, do you know who you are and do you believe in your purpose? And if you know who you are and you believe in your purpose, you don't care about your gift set. Because you know what you're moving towards. You know what you're carrying, or what you're participating and carrying. So we don't have to live in the reality of inadequacy. Instead, we live in the reality of being made in the image of God for the purpose of giving to the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our reality. Matt's gonna come up, like I said, in just a bit, and he's gonna talk about different areas. You probably saw the atriums all spruced up. But there are different ministries out there that you'll have the opportunity to serve from. But I want to pray over you. One, I want to pray that if you're not serving, frankly, and I don't have the power to convict, only the Holy Spirit does. It's sincere. But I do pray that the Spirit would begin to convict you of how can you give? How can you give of your time, your treasures, and your talent? But I want to also pray is that if there's anyone in here that has been handicapped by a feeling of inadequacy, I just want to pray real simply that the Spirit of God would break those chains and that you would see that God has been preparing you in advance to do what he's called you to do. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Father, you are too good to us to give us life, to show us grace and mercy and compassion. And Father, not that we definitely don't have to work for any of those things, Lord. Ephesians 2:10 is very clear about that, Lord. But because of your goodness, Lord, because of the goodness that is running after us as we sang about, Lord, Father, may our response to that goodness be to give everything that we are to your kingdom, to carrying your kingdom, Lord. But it starts by remembering who we are. And Father, I also pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here that's just been sidelined by a sense of inadequacy, Lord. Maybe it's a bad experience that they had serving decades ago. Maybe someone told them something that has just crippled their thought life and they can't ever think that they have anything to give, Lord. Maybe it's a sin in the past and they think they're disqualified, Lord. Whatever it is, Father, would you remind them now in this moment, Lord, that you have prepared them and you have called them to exactly where you need them, Lord, and where you want them to carry your kingdom, Lord. So, Father, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.